WIOO Carlisle.
Do you have any idea what our competition provides their listening public with? This is what our competition plays from sunup until sundown.
Captain Races?
Records. They play records. The same records you could play on your gramophone at home. And this is what we give our audience.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The famous and unknown. The professional and amateur announcer.
Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
My greetings to both of you.
Radio gods. The Don and Mike Show. Copyright 1997. CBS Radio.
You people never cease to amaze me.
All rights reserved. Produced by 106.7 WJFK, Washington Superstation. And distributed by Westwood One Entertainment.
As you all know, this show of ours is a sort of catch-as-catch-can affair with everything up for grabs.
Our kids don't even rehearse. They just audition and then go off.
Previously on the Don and Mike Show.
Zach, you're the littlest Hanson, right?
Yes, I'm the littlest Hanson.
Can you give us a little of it, you know?
Oh,
Wow, that's great. Are you all right there, Zach? Zach's doing some shtick for us right now. What was that sound I heard?
That was actually a burp.
Any chance we'd get one more burp for you before you go?
What do you want me to say?
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike.
The Don and Mike Show.
It's all part of Westinghouse Opportunity Day.
Honey G and Frida G. It's a movie script that's meant to be. And you know that part, the source will be a radio star eventually.
You lazy loafer.
It's a club for second wives. It'll torture the boys for the rest of their lives. Don't forget Big Frida, her mom, who wants into the trousers of Don.
Do I make you
I smell wanted? Motion picture, or is it motion sickness? Let's get Aaron Spelling to read the script and verify its thickness.
No.
Earth Dog brother Jimmy checks in, and Jaw Jack's about his latest sin. There's a knuckle in there that's really their bro.
Oh, yeah, that's normal.
Says Donnie.
Oh, George.
Donnie's ex
George.
Works at the garbage plant. Their daughter Amy ain't no Amy Grant. Auntie Lola's dead, but her memory's not. After slipping down the tongue, Will's drinking a lot.
Oh, George!
Better call Lisa Gibbons back again. It's the nuttiest family that's ever been.
No!
It's Melrose Place. It's a hell of a show. It's the best effing thing on the radio. I smell motion picture.
I made the rounds of recharging.
Or is it motion sickness? Let's get Aaron to read the script, then verify its bigness. Time to start the show. Welcome to the Tards.
You know, Beverly, golfers like to keep dirt and debris off their golf balls.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly when you're putting. They call me three-putt buck. That's why we have cleaning devices around the golf courses. You know, those things you squish up and down. Well, one golfer didn't use a wet towel or any cleaning device. He licked his balls clean.
You're late. What do you say we cut the chit-chat? A-hole. Where else would you rather be? Then right here, right now.
Nowhere, man.
Hello, RJ.
Hi, fellas.
Hi there, RJ. How many do you bring to the table today?
Today I place before you two.
Would you like to think about the audience just once and maybe cut that to one?
Yeah, give us one gem.
Give us the one that you think is really funny.
Okay. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Martsky and all the ships at sea. Guaranteed to turn your stool blue, the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, all right.
It's tough to miss with stools, with blue stools.
You know what we think's funny. Let me hear the other one. Just so I know what I missed out on. This was like a Let's Make a Deal where they would always show you what was in the big box that the guy brought down the hallway.
Two guys gleefully trumpeting general disrespect through their spigots of filth. The Don and Mike Show.
No, that would be a zonk. See, that would be, I was glad I didn't hear that one.
Gong!
That was a loser where you'd have, like, the announcer wearing a baby bonnet, sitting in a big, giant, oversized rocking chair with a big pacifier. Get out, Rob. There he is, everybody, the disappointment. Rob Spiewak, and hello to you, and thank you for listening coast to coast and nationwide via Westwood One Entertainment, darling. Don Geronimo with Mike O'Mara. That's why we call it the Cotton Picking Don and Mike Show.
One half a brain, meld it together. A whole brain.
I'm Lefty.
I'm Righty.
And we're the Dixons. And there is our friend in the next room, Radio's Guy Burbank. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Guy.
Hi.
Great to see ye. And welcome to the big show. And a big one it will be today. It's our Bad Songs Show, Volume 2.
Oh, you're going to love the bad songs we have for you today.
We've done this one time before where we spotlight not songs of the disco era, not songs of a decade gone by, simply the worst songs, the suckiest songs ever.
The songs you love to hate.
But really, you pretty much hate. I mean, maybe you just love them just that much, but it's mainly hate.
Yes, it's a fine line between love and hate, Don.
I mean, tunage like Rock Me Amadeus and...
Now, that's one that you just pulled out of your pocket as a pure hatred one.
Putting on the Ritz.
Yeah.
By Taco.
Yeah, sometimes, though, you know, late at night if I'm by my own gramophone.
And listen, today, Spotlight... on the celebrities.
Oh, good.
With their bad songs. So that's what the whole show will be revolving around today, is these bad songs. The only time we will deviate from that is for the much ballyhooed news and comment with Hi Guy Burbank.
Hi Guy.
So strap yourself in and get set. Now, before we go, as always, I have just a couple of things to get off my chest.
As do I. Before you get your things off your chest, I have a priority announcement. I would like to say a happy birthday to my wife.
Yes.
My wife, 29 years young today, and I want to say happy birthday, Laura. I love you. We had our sonogram today. Everything's looking great.
Great.
We're happy with that, and we're actually getting along now. So I wanted to
Well, now are you now back sleeping in the bedroom now?
Yeah, that was one night where I wasn't sleeping in the bedroom.
Oh,
you know, that seventh month, it was the same way the first pregnancy. Things tend to get a little dicey, but everything is wonderful, and I just wanted to say happy birthday to Laura because I love her a lot. And we were, the sonograms are always a little interesting, and you go in there, you're a little nervous no matter what, even if it's routine.
Yes.
And that happened today. And I can't read the sonogram, so I was sitting there.
Well, you can't read, period.
I can't read anything, and it's very frustrating to look at that little screen and say, oh, look at that, it's the baby's leg. And they say, no, that's the face, idiot. And they have me turn around.
So. You know the worst thing? When they put the... that thing, the listen thing on the baby, you know,
the heart monitor, right.
When they put that thing on there and they say, now listen, you know what's bad when you hear this?
George.
Oh, dear. And then I run out of the obstetrician's office.
You're not paid to be a canary.
No, make it stop. Make it go away.
Well, glad everything is okay on the home front.
Everything's great, and happy birthday to Laura. Did I say 29? She's actually 19 today. 19 years young.
You know, who knows her real age, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, well, she's constantly lying about it, so nobody will know how old she really is.
All I know is that she's making some great drapes.
Yeah, she's got to redo the ones in the living room.
Oh, well.
She was very upset about that. I said, hey, come on now. You know, even the greatest geniuses, once in a while, they have a little glitch. They weren't quite long enough, and she was just beside herself with
that. Put the heart monitor on. Let's hear what the baby's saying.
No.
I just heard him say something.
No.
No, make the baby stop talking.
Take those capsules over to Mrs. Blaine's. She's waiting for them.
Okay, well, congratulations, and glad things are A-OK for you.
Very good. Happy birthday, Laura.
Things would also be A-OK for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my wife's birthday.
Right.
I didn't have to sleep in the guest room.
Mm-hmm.
Things are okay. We had some good relations last night.
Good.
Came into work today. Very happy. Always a fun show for me, and this package was waiting for me when I got here.
Yes.
And I love this. I got tapes, more advanced tapes from the UPN network.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been receiving these for a while, where they'll send me an advanced copy of a show. Remember I told you how much it makes me feel like a big shot?
Sure.
Well, today I got the note from Patty. Don, enclosed is the season finale of Star Trek Voyager.
Well, I know that excites you.
The soundtrack is missing, but I wanted to get it to you as soon as possible.
Wow.
I love this. I'll be able to watch the show without the music.
Yeah.
You know, in some weird way, it'll make me feel like I'm connected and so I'm on the inside in some way.
Yeah, like you're looking at a final cut, you know, before it goes out to the TV station. Yeah.
My big fantasy that I'm sitting there with my Steven Spielberg hat on.
Janeway just sitting there in a robe with nothing on underneath, feeding you grapes as you admire her performance.
The storyline introduces a powerful blah, 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 the Borg. So I'll be watching that, and the gal knows me. She says, I've also enclosed the season cliffhanger of Moesha.
Ah, oh.
So listen, I want to say that I'm going to offer this up as a prize sometime during the show today. I'll be willing to part with this one right here.
There's an oversized guy that works here that's going to wrestle you for that one, that's for sure.
Well, you cannot be an employee. Charlie, if you're listening, you cannot be an employee of the Don and Mike Empire.
Yeah. Oh, you feel the floor shaking right now?
To win this, and here it is, Moesha.
Oh.
Season finale, Prom Fright.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Don Geronimo, for review. Cool, huh?
Yeah.
I know, it's idiotic. They probably send them to all the disc jockeys, but I don't know any other DJs who get the advanced copy, so that makes always makes me feel good.
That's good.
And I have nothing but praise for another television network. I have a big shout-out to the Fox Network.
Oh, really?
I love the latest reality show that they had on. Now, this is not the show that they had earlier in the week with the cameras and the cops' cars where you would see, like, people fighting and stuff.
Right.
And this is not the one with animals going crazy.
No.
And this is not the one with anchor people going nutty. This was Stunts Gone Bad.
Yes. You know, I came in yesterday. I recommend that to him. Uh-huh. Then I don't get to see it. He comes in and tells me it was incredible.
You missed it. It was the best one of any of the reality shows that I've seen.
And I love those reality shows.
A couple of highlights, okay? My own personal highlights. They got a guy, a daredevil, and he's going to be put in this plexiglass box, like, you know, what you put a dead person, like a casket.
Oh, okay.
Made of plexiglass, and he's being lowered into the ground.
He's all chained up, right, inside the box. Right,
right, yes, and they're bringing him in, they put him in, feet first. So they're lowering him into the box, and you see the guy there, I'm in here, I'm all chained up. And then they proceed to bring up a cement truck, and they start pouring cement in there.
Oh, my gosh.
14 tons of cement. Everything's going along, and all of a sudden you hear, and you see the whole pile of cement go down about 3 feet.
Oh, right.
And then they realize that a plexiglass, a chamber, cannot possibly hold 14 tons of cement.
Oops. That one didn't turn out too good, did
that
it?
That guy was a goner.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Then you had, now, where is the justice in this? A disc jockey did the same thing, and the disc jockey survived.
Sure. Really?
Yeah. Yes, it was some disc jockey, I don't know, named Shotgun or something like that. The guy gets into the plastic box,
right,
and they lower him into the ground, and they put the cement on it, and then they realize that they're, like, killing the guy.
Oh, no.
So they frantically start to dig a hole next to the hole that this guy's been dumped into.
Right. Out, get him out, get him out!
Because they want the cement to overflow from his hole into the next hole.
Yeah, exactly. Because they didn't have the foresight to know that this is cement is heavier than the little box.
So that guy made it. Uh-huh. You know, the disc jockey lived, but the other guy did not.
No justice in the world.
They also had these guys. Oh, they had the obligatory stuff that I told you, like with Robbie Knievel, the time that he ran into the ramp at Caesar's Palace.
Yeah, he had a terrible crash.
They showed that one. That was old stuff. But then they had something that looked like it was home video with these guys who took a late model 70s car. I estimated it was like a Buick 88 or a Monte Carlo, some big-ass, big American-made car. They put wings on the side of it. Wings.
Yeah.
Like plane wings.
Uh-huh.
And like you would see in a cartoon, they drove off a cliff.
Oh, God.
They drive the car off the cliff.
Were they thinking they could fly?
The car goes off the cliff. Now you're hearing the announcer as the car goes off the cliff. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The worst thing that could happen would be if the car was to flip over and they would land on the roof.
Yeah.
Well, on command.
Bam.
Car flips over.
Oh, pancake. Like a Roadrunner cartoon.
Thumbs up to the Fox Network.
Yeah. Wow. They give it to you, don't they?
You have found your niche.
Sure.
You have found your genre. Stay with it.
That's right. You know, the scariest police chases when animals attack. Bring us more of the reality programming.
Now here's the dilemma I had going last night, because you had the Knicks and the Heat playing.
Right. Yes.
And a fantastic fight at the end of this New York Knicks-Miami Heat game.
Oh,
last
really?
Night. Yeah, Charlie Ward, the guy who was the quarterback, I think, for Florida State.
Charlie Warren?
No, Charlie Ward.
Oh, Charlie Ward. All right. I'm not going to take that from you. Hi, I'm Charlie Warren.
Charlie Ward, who has some football experience. He's down by the foul line, and they're lining up for a foul shot.
Right.
And he just kind of runs it. I think it might have been Charles Oakley. I don't know. Some guy for the New York Knicks. Runs into him and, like, blocks him in the knees.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy goes sprawling into the crowd. And then the next thing you know, it's like everybody's out on the floor. And they're, like, they're punching each other. And
you know, basketball fights, I've always thought basketball fights, they don't occur as often. But when they do, they're the most violent fights in sport. Yeah.
So these guys are fighting. And I'm going through the battle with the remote with my wife. I'm saying, oh, my God, they're fighting. Meanwhile, you got the guys who are pushing the Monte Carlo off the cliff on Channel 5.
Uh-huh.
And the whole time she's saying to me during this 9 to 10 o'clock hour, she's saying, go back to 7. She wants to watch Drew Carey and Ellen.
Yes, Ellen, who's, I guess, ratings are kind of going...
Well, I have a comment on both of those shows. You suck. I don't know that Drew Carey, that show is so overrated. Every time I watch it, it's not funny. And last night, they built up to a big song and dance number where they were being the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Right.
And that gross pig...
Mimi?
Yes, she was being...
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Yeah, it's like... Come on, not funny. I'm sitting there, I'm looking at my wife like, wouldn't you rather watch the guys pushing their car off the cliff than this?
Sure.
She says, no, go back to the basketball game.
Well, see, those shows, some of those shows, they substitute the big events for good writing. Why write a show when you can have some stupid event?
Bingo.
And as far as Ellen goes, you know who I feel bad for now is the extra players on the show who are going to be left in her lesbian wake.
Oh, yeah.
In just 2 weeks, Ellen Morgan... has got a new house,
right.
Quit her job,
yep.
And is on the outs with at least her best friend.
Yeah, well, Ellen, I think, is maybe going to be on the outs, too. It's they're mulling that over at ABC.
I'm a lesbian.
Whether they're going to continue. And, you know, that's the ultimate slam in the face for her. You know, she gets done with all of this hype for what, a year and a half has been going on.
Who else does she have to tell?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Act on it, Ellen. Act on it. Do something. Munch!
I know what you want. You want her to move to HBO.
Oh, wouldn't that be great? She'd do fine on Fox.
Sure, Fox or HBO.
I think you could munch on Fox.
It did get a little steamy toward the end of the show last night, and I was thinking of you when I saw it. I thought...
When did it get steamy?
She and another woman were, you know, hugging and kissing and stuff at the end of the show.
They were hugging as friends, Buzz.
No, later in the show. I mean, it got steamy.
No, do you mean when the one girl... Oh, and they stopped the scene of the perfect part.
Yeah. He can watch two shows at one time.
Three last night. Three going last night.
You got TV monitors in here. I think you got a computer chip in your cerebrum.
I got a unique sense of timing that I swear to God, I got some kind of inner
telepathy.
Ability.
CSP.
That I can go from channel to channel, and I'm not watching a clock, and my wife will say, go back to channel 7. I'll say, they're still in commercial.
Right.
They're still in commercial. Let me just flip up to HBO.
Right.
I got that happening.
Yeah.
Two great scenes in Ellen last night involving the redhead that we like.
Ah, the redhead with the cleavage.
Right. In one scene, she's trying on clothes at a boutique.
Yeah.
And she starts to take her clothes off in front of Ellen. Then she realizes that Ellen is a lesbian and Ellen might be turned on by her.
Right.
So she doesn't take her shirt off.
Bummer.
But like you see that she has a green bra on, and it looked like a fantastic bra, but they didn't show anything.
Bummer!
And then later in the show, when she tells Ellen that she loves her no matter what, then she says, now I want to prove to you that I'm not uptight with you being gay. I want to change my clothes in front of you.
Now, see, that there's where the producers, in my opinion, are giving us what we want.
Then she stands up, and she takes off her shirt, and it's a very disappointing bra.
Really? It's not as good as the green bra?
Nowhere near as the caliber of the green bra. It's a black bra. It's an old lady bra. It covers up way too much. And then the goofy friends come in.
The extra fabric in the bra that's unnecessary. The sheer brassiere is the only one that I've ever found is really necessary.
And she hugged Ellen. Right before that. But that wasn't a lesbian hug. Yeah. That was a friendship hug, Buzz.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would have liked that hug as they were hugging. If Ellen's hand would have gone down, maybe Ellen would have creeped her.
Yeah.
I could see you as like a director for the Fox Network for the new Ellen show. Okay, great. Hey, enough with the dialogue. Are you guys ready to take your clothes off now?
Munch. Creeper right now. Creeper, I hardly knew her. All right, so that was disappointing last night, the Ellen show. And it was the last one. And now we're getting to that time when all of the shows are having their much-ballyhooed season finales.
Right.
I have found the sweeps to be mediocre at best.
Yeah, true.
Oh, you want to talk real mediocre? Mm-hmm. I also managed last night to surf and catch the last tearful episode of Coach.
Oh, did you really?
Yes.
You're a loyalist. Way to go. I know there was a time when, there was a time when we both enjoyed that show.
A salute to being pathetic.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but it's a part of my history. I had to watch it.
Yeah.
They had a wacky opening and a wacky closing when Hayden and his wife, and she looks great with her straightened hair. Mm-hmm. What's her name?
That is the...
Shelley Fabre.
The ancient Shelley Fabre.
Not by my estimation,
I think
Mike.
Shelley Fabre is... one of those people like Dick Clark who is ageless. She looks good no matter how old she is.
They walk into that cabin that they used to live in, and it's all dark. And who's in there but Larry, Daryl, and Daryl?
Okay, you mean Jerry Van Dyke?
No. Larry, Daryl, and Daryl.
The real Larry, Daryl, and they're from Newhart?
Right, except they're, like, all super fat and don't look like the same guys they used to be before. All right? So I watched that, and then I
continued to surf around the other channels, and then saw the very end, which I thought was going to be interesting. They are all sitting around the fireplace in that cabin,
right.
And they're being themselves.
Right.
He's saying, well, Shelley, this is it. And she's saying, whatever his real name is. Coach?
Hey, Craig.
Craig. And the whole time they're saying goodbye, and we've been on for nine years.
Yeah.
9 freaking years I've been watching this lousy, stinking show.
Off and on. Well, look at Married with Children. How long was that on? I mean,
11.
11 years.
Yeah. 10 years, 11
wow.
seasons.
Wow. But as they're doing this, Jerry Van Dyke, the shtick is that Jerry Van Dyke is going to be the one member of the cast who refuses to believe the show's going off the air. So, like, they're not calling him Luther. But, Mike, not funny. Not funny. I know you like Jerry Van Dyke.
I'm laughing because they make him, I'm waiting for the spinoff that's going to be, you've got Seinfeld, so there is room for a show simply named Jerry. Jerry, and it'll be Jerry Van Dyke. Jerry Lewis never used that, Simply call, as a matter of fact, Simply Jerry. You've got Suddenly Susan, well, Simply Jerry.
Imagine the hilarity, as they all turn to him and mock anger and say, listen, this is it, we have to go, good night, it's been fantastic, and they walk off the stage, and then he stubbornly says, well, I'm not going anywhere, and then crazy they turn the lights off.
Oh, they bring the lights down.
They turn the lights off, so the only light you see is from the fire behind him, and then he says, I'm not going anywhere. And then they go to credits. Like that's supposed to make me cry or something.
Well, the thing is, of course they ended with him. That would follow.
True star of the show, Coach. I'll give you that. You won't find me arguing that one, Mike.
I just hope there's a Dauber. I hope there's a spinoff with him, too. All those. What's her name? The lady with the big boobs. Mona, have her. She joined the cast late, though, of course.
Catherine Helmand.
Yes, in the late part. She was the gazoo, if you will, of that show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And finally, I just want to tell you one other thing that happened, and then we've really got to go to start the gosh darn show. I got the call today that about 8 months ago I would have been crazy for.
Mm-hmm.
I got a call, and they said, Don Geronimo, I said, yes. They say, please hold for blah, blah, blah production offices. Hmm. And I don't know who this is, some production company. So they say, hold on a second, and the guy says, hey, this is whatever his name is, this is Joe Blow, and I'm with the production company that's putting together the next Anthony Robbins infomercial.
There you go.
Huh.
We understand that you were a member, and that you loved it, and that you went to see Tony up in Baltimore.
Yes, you did. You were a diehard.
And we were told that you might have some interest in giving us a testimonial.
Yeah.
And I said, well, for a moment I thought about it. I said, is it going to be at an exotic location? They said, no. We'll come to your home and film you in your home.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, it didn't really work out that great for me. I was really into the tape, but
I admire that. You were honest with them.
Yeah. It didn't work out for me. And then I was still trying to find out if I would get something for being on the tape. And finally, I just asked the guy, like 10 minutes into it. I said, well, I said some things on the air that maybe y'all wouldn't take the right way. We do a funny show, blah, blah, blah. Then I slipped in. Oh, incidentally, I'm a member of SAG.
Yeah.
Do you need my number? And he said, oh, no, this is gratis. All of the people, all of the celebrities that you see with their statements on the tape, they're all doing it because they believe in Tony so much.
Wow, 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 wow. Yeah, you mean like he can't share a little dough with them?
And that is when the real me kicked in.
Yeah. Right.
And I said, well, listen, you don't want me anyway, because I would talk about what an idiot robot I felt like when I went to Baltimore and all he wanted to do was have me stand up on a table and dance Macarena.
What did they say when you said that to him?
There was a second and he said, oh, is this what you've said on the air? Is this some of your shtick? And I said, yes, it's shtick, but it's true.
And what did he say after that?
It's true. He said, well, then I don't think that we have any further business to discuss.
Yeah.
And I said, all right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, at least now you can share a little light on the subject that they get those, those celebrities to do it for
free. Wow.
There's no way that Lisa Gibbons is doing that for free.
He said that to me. Lisa Gibbons is a host. You're talking about, and he named Quincy Jones. Oh, and I also mentioned Greg Norman. I said, hey, worked out super for Greg Norman.
Yeah, that Masters, it really worked out for him.
Remember the guy that got killed by Tiger Woods and didn't even make the cut in the U.S. Open? He brought Anthony Robbins in to help him out.
Mm-hmm.
So they said no. They said Quincy Jones did it for nothing, and Bob Segrin, the guy who was a gold medal winner like 20 years ago, he did it for nothing, and some guy who's a field goal kicker, he does it for nothing. I said, well, that's great, but, you know, all those people make a gazillion dollars a year.
Yeah, sure.
I said, just scale.
Give me a little something, a little taste.
He said it kind of goes against the spirit of the tape. I said, well, I didn't get the tape for nothing. You know, I had to pay for the tape, and that's...
If you like the spirit, you know, give me the tape for free.
And that's when he said, well, maybe we'll just part then.
Mm-hmm.
I was given some misinformation. I was sure that you'd be very excited about participating in this project.
Well, so you know, and I...
Turned him down.
And pretty late on the trigger, if you ask me. I mean, you were hot on that a long time ago, and I know you wanted to go to Fiji or whatever.
Well, he's just going into production now, Mike. Uh-huh. Just now going into production for the new infomercial.
Well, we can look for some more Tony Robbins. And, hey, he really did. I forgot about that Greg Norman thing at the Masters. He really did help him, didn't he?
So it's another big opportunity that I'm walking away from. I'm breaking my cardinal rule. Never slam an open door.
Right.
This would be the third now. Twice on the Lisa Gibbons show I've turned them down.
That's
and
right.
Now I've turned down Anthony Robbins.
And it's almost like that Kevin Bacon thing, you know, where everything leads back to Lisa Gibbons now. You know, it's Lisa Gibbons is the hostess for the Tony Robbins show.
And finally, do I have to... Just a guy in... Giant Food today in the grocery store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got a simple routine in the grocery store. I go to the salad bar, and they got this pasta that I like, and I load up the little plastic container, and I take it to the front, and it costs $4 every time, and I'm in and out of the store in 3 minutes.
Right.
I go to the salad bar today. They don't have the stuff there, so I go back to the deli counter. That's all right. I don't mind. I'll walk to the back of the store. I get back there, and there's a guy wearing a white shirt and a tie. A guy looks like he's taking his lunch break, okay? This guy, I am not exaggerating, 10 minutes. You would have thought that this guy was buying a freaking car.
To make his selections at the deli counter?
Well, so chock full of questions. the egg salad. Here's what he said. The egg salad. Do you have a tester spoon? He says, do you have a tester spoon?
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
Yeah.
That the whole concept of testing egg salad grosses me out.
You know, meanwhile, I'm standing behind the guy, and I'm making eye contact with the woman at the deli counter.
Please, just give me my food.
And I know that she knows that I'm there with my overbearing presence.
You know that she knows that
right,
you know.
But she can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, this guy, he's continuing to walk up and down the deli aisle, up and down this, and he's looking at all the stuff, and he says, all right, I'll take a half a pound of the egg salad.
You are such a type A.
Then as she is starting to scoop it in, he goes, no. Give me 3/4 of a pound of that, and oh, that chicken lo mein, is that no fat? And she says, no, it's low fat. And
this is the same guy that wanted to test the egg salad who's worried about no fat.
So he says, what's the percentage of fat? And she says at this point, I would have to go in the back to look it up for you.
Right.
And he said, okay.
And at this point, you want to simply grab him around the waist and tackle him, hurling him to the floor on that hard supermarket floor.
I didn't say anything to him. I timed this. It was 8.5 minutes.
Wow.
Took him to get his stupid egg salad. And what kind of guy eats egg salad and chicken lo mein for lunch?
Oh, boy. How'd you like to be in that office this afternoon?
Or maybe he was buying for everybody in his office. I don't know. So he gets the stuff, and as he walks away, I get there, and the lady says to me, hey, I'm sorry. I know you were waiting. What can I get you? And I said, you know, just give me that pasta. She was great.
Right.
30 seconds. I get up to the front. I'm up to the checkout. One lane's open, and guess who I'm behind?
It's him.
It's him again. And this time he wants to know when he gets up to the front. Do you sell stamps? And the lady says, yeah, we sell stamps. How much are they? Now, keep in mind, this is the same guy.
I would have killed him.
I swear to G-O-D, same thing. Now, she says, I don't know. I don't have any stamps here. I would have to go to another register. And again, same thing like with how much fat is in this. He says, okay, yeah. Hey, buddy, you ever heard of a post office? You buy food in the grocery store, and you don't look at things and analyze things like you are buying a house.
Common courtesy.
Yeah.
It's so common courtesy.
So he paid, and he got his stuff, and he left, and I paid and got, and then I...
Wow.
He's in front of me in the parking lot on the way out, the big red car.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried very hard to stare him down, but he's one of those guys that was just drowning in his stupidity.
What is your look when you're doing that? Like, if you're really... Like, somebody's sitting there, and he's like... And then he looks at you...
I've all worked up, like just like... I mean, I got it down. I cocked my head. I give a look that instantly says, I hate you.
Yes.
You so, expect people to, he's going to sit there. And your ultimate scenario would be he meets the
gays. He would say, listen, I realize there's somebody behind me who's a little bit more together than me.
Right.
Who probably just wants to buy his one item.
And in the ultimate fantasy, he'd burst into tears going, I'm sorry.
Only in extreme.
Sure.
The real fantasy would be he'd say, hey, have you been waiting long?
Yeah.
Why don't you help this gentleman, and then you and I continue to have this dialogue about egg salad. I hate that. I hate that.
A simple trip to the grocery store, potential murderous situation.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Now, who's calling now? Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Radio God.
Hello.
I was just calling about that When Stunts Go Bad show.
Ah, that was a good one.
The old model car that you were talking about,
mm-hmm.
that was actually somewhere in Norway, and what they were trying to do was, it was a T-Bird that they had, like a 79 or an 80 T-Bird.
Told you it looked like an Oldsmobile or a Monte Carlo. Yeah, T-Bird, one of those big-ass sure. American cars, yes.
Well, guess what they were trying to do? They were trying to set a land speed and a distance record at the same time for a jump. They were trying to jump one of those fjords in Norway.
Oh, a fjord.
So a turbine jet engine to the back of this car.
And the wings that they had on
and
this
those
thing.
And those little tiny wings, yeah.
They have these wings that look like Orville and Wilbur Wright wings
yeah.
on the side of this car, and this thing goes
as
off.
As soon as it hits the ramp, it disintegrates into nothing, because that thing was going like 500 miles an hour.
It was great.
And it had no wind shear at all. I mean, it just, as soon as it hit the wind.
Yeah, what would we do without those people giving us those stunts so we can laugh at their failure?
Thank you, my friend.
Hey, next on Fox, when people die.
Now, are you doing a goof, or is that, listen to me, is that a real show?
Well, my friend here works, my roommate, and he works for the Fox affiliate out here in Grand Junction.
Yeah?
And he said that's the way that they're going with these, is they're just getting more and more graphic with them. You know,
that's not a real show, I believe.
See, you got us all excited. You know, the average person would have accepted that as a joke right at the beginning, but we got very excited because
really?
We love the Fox program.
When people die?
Roofing that. That basically, that's what we were saying last night, because, I mean, they're showing just people getting hurt.
All right,
and
guy.
They come on with the disclaimer at the beginning, going, "This isn't. We're showing you for this."
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'm hanging up on you now, guy.
Just tonight, the next one up on Fox is Scariest Police Shootout. So that's tonight on Fox. That would be the next one up.
Oh, kind of a letdown, though. I bet you should have seen these guys
gunplay
with their big Thunderbird pushing their car off a cliff.
I'm not even telling you what I was watching last night.
What? What was on CBS?
No, it wasn't CBS.
Lifetime.
I was watching a movie. I watched one of those direct movies.
Emma.
I watched the Spitfire Grill.
Kind of a man are you?
I knew that.
Kind of a man are you?
I knew that look. That's why I was refraining from saying it. That's
if I didn't know you better, I'd say you're a fag. But I know you're not, because you knocked your wife up again. Good man, Mike. Hey, we've got a break here. For goodness sakes, this has been a long commercial-free rap, huh?
It was wonderful.
We will be back. Oh, yes, the purpose of today's show.
Music.
The crazy songs.
Yeah.
The kooky songs. We'll get to them in a moment.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show on your sports leader, AM 1000.
Headaches afternoon to 3 on AM 1000, WIOO.
Back to the Don and Mike Show on your sports leader, AM 1000.
97X, the future of rock and roll.
97X, bang, the future of rock and roll. 97X, bang, the future of rock and roll. 97X, bang, bang. Future of rock and roll.
Ray, enough already.
It's working great, Beef. The Don and Mike Show.
Well, yeah, there we go. I like this one. My name is Michael. I've got a nickel.
No, this is Playground in My Mind.
Oh, no!
Everybody, Clint Holmes. When this whole world
gets me God, down. Didn't you think it was that one?
I did.
And there's yeah. no love.
You guys don't know your great music.
Close my eyes and soon I'll oh, God.
I'm in a playground in my mind.
Where the children
laugh. Now this is bad, baby.
And the children play.
Hey.
Hey. Hey.
You were correct.
Wow. That's what it is, right?
But the name of the song is Playground in My Mind. I never remember them singing, My Name is Michael.
When your name is Michael, see, you should have known that. Your name is Michael.
Yeah. My real name, though. In the okay, well.
I did have it right.
Put one in the win column for
That's
you.
That's good. I can't even these some of these. I tell you, I'm a 1 for 20 so far.
And here's your reward.
Ah, thank you very much. Ah, okay. Our first taste of taco. Oh, then now this is a guy that can sing.
Eat the taco. Yeah, this is bad, man.
Ah, taco. If you're blue and you don't know where to go, don't you know where fashion sits?
Push under me!
Different types to wear a deco pants with stripes.
Oh, I got a great one here. Are you ready for some sing-along?
Oh, sure.
I mean, I got a great bad one is what I got,
all right? Oh, yes! Oh, God. Get ready.
The DeFranco family. Heartbeat, it's a love beat.
It's on my first audition tape.
Boy, this sucks.
Another group of guys that wore the same uniforms.
These kids are not talented. Like Hanson.
And, of course, this little Tony DeFranco right here. And they, I think the rest, of
marvelous?
The rest of the DeFranco family in their 50s, I believe.
Up and down. All right, you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Buzz?
Okay.
Charlie?
It's a heartbeat. It's a love beat. And when we meet, it's a good vibration. A heartbeat. It's a love beat. And when we meet, it's a good sensation. Listen to my heart pound. Listen to my love sound. Feeling's getting stronger.
Stronger, stronger.
Can't hold back any longer. It's a heartbeat. It's a love beat. And when we meet, it's a good vibration. It's a heartbeat. It's a love beat. And when we meet, it's a good vibration.
Listen to my...
All right. Hey, we do pretty well on that one.
That's one we really like.
Yeah.
Let me go to another bad one.
Tony DeFranco and the DeFranco family.
Well, you know, there's so many good bad ones.
Sure. That's why we love this show.
On this one. Let me go to cut number 12. Oh, no, even better.
Okay.
Cut number 11. Mm-hmm. Boy, how do you define suck?
Candyman.
Oh, yes.
Sammy Man.
The late Sammy Davis Jr.
All right, everybody. Gather around. The Candyman is here.
All right. Who can make that sunrise? Cats.
Gumdrops, anything.
Hard to believe that they used to play this on the radio, and this was like a rock and roll song, right?
40 hit.
I'm the Candyman, man.
Who can make a sunrise?
Altavis, is the porno ready?
Sprinkle it with you.
Having Lucy over to watch Deep Throat?
It's a private screening, man. The Candyman.
Oh, the candy man.
And you hear a lot of his, the candy man.
He had a lot of that same thing as, my name is Michael.
I got a nickel.
Okay, hold on. Let me go to
cut
number 11.
All right.
Here we go. Here's another bad. Oh, let's see if we do an instant request.
Okay.
Okay.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
How you doing, Radio Mother Effing Gods?
Hello, buddy.
How you doing?
Great.
I got one for you.
Yes?
Pac-Man Fever.
I do have it, but I have it on a record.
Oh.
So you have to wait until I bring out my stack of 45s. Right now, we're operating off CDs.
One Night in Bangkok?
One Night in Bangkok, yeah. And the world's your oyster.
That's like from the taco sound-alike, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I used to listen to you spin that in Chicago when I was a kid, man.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you. You're being disconnected now.
Thanks, kid.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Mike.
Yes, hi, Mike.
How are you guys?
Great, thank
you.
Hey,
Seasons in the Sun.
Well, we just did that a couple of days ago, though.
I mean, you're kidding me. I missed it.
No, I'm not kidding that we did a whole, what seemed like, half hour on Seasons in the Sun.
Yeah, we had joy, we had fun, we had Seasons in the Sun.
You got to do it for me.
We sang the whole song. No, listen, I will just tease you and just give you the intro. Fun Level 13 Cube, baby. The summer of the Cube.
Goodbye to you, my trusted
That takes me back. You could be right in the 70s with that. Yeah.
And that's all I'll give you.
Bye. Right.
Hold on. Let me just give you one other one.
Okay.
Just one other one. A great one.
Oh, yeah, baby. Used to say this to Charles Broyhill when his name was Billy Reed.
And I loved it when little kids would call the station and say, would you play Billy Don't Be a Negro?
They didn't know the words.
I could never put those calls on the air, of course.
What about that one about the black sheep of the family?
See, I can't think about more than one song when one song is playing, but yes. Was that Run, Joey, Run? Or?
Run, Joey.
Run, Forrest, run. Oh, well, listen, we'll find that. Thank you. I'm going to listen to the good part of this one now. Thank you for listening.
Thanks.
All right, goodbye.
It's a good hook on this song.
Here you go. Here's the good part. Now, here's a song. That song I kind of like, okay?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Here's a song, a bad song, I swear to God, that I really want to go postal when I hear. All I got to do is hear the intro of the song.
You don't like this song, huh?
Afternoon Delight.
Down there local, you know, the Starland Vocal Band. Right around the Chesapeake Bay.
This is the worst. This is the absolute worst. I hate this song. Gonna find my baby, gonna hold. Die, you scum.
Yeah, this song's for anybody that had a little Afternoon Delight back in the 70s.
Awful.
Song said, why have sex at night?
What you can do in the afternoon.
Bad, bad.
This one's for Frank Gifford.
That's bad. That stinks. Get that off.
How many times? Now, you know, there's a reason for that. How many times you probably had to play that song?
Oh, countless times, Mike. Oh. Here's the aforementioned Run, Joey, Run.
Oh, this one. This is the melodrama at its finest.
Daddy, please don't. It wasn't his fault.
Please.
He means so much to me.
And now that I hear this, I remember.
Daddy, please.
The follow-up to this was The Boy in the Bleachers.
Right.
Just you wait and see.
By David Getty.
Every night, the same old dream.
Yes.
Hate to close my eyes.
Picture a big puppy shirt. Same old dream.
The memory, the sound of Julie's cry.
My overactive way of singing.
Hold me up.
It's
late that night.
There's something. It's like a train wreck. You just want to look at it.
My dad and I.
My dad and I.
And he stormed out the door.
Run, Joey, run.
I've never seen him.
I've never seen him act this way, for the love of God.
He says he's gonna make you.
Some poor schmuck who's really pouring his heart out of this stupid song.
Run!
Joey, run!
Run, run, Joey, run! Run!
Daddy, please don't.
Don't, Daddy.
That's the best.
So much to me.
It's a song that my daughter Catherine will be singing to me someday.
Yep. Now, hold on. I'm going to follow this up with a twofer. Yeah. I got a twofer going.
All right.
Who says I'm not your boss, Jock? With the hot licks and the hot sauce. Here we go. Following it up, the last game of the season, Blind Man in the Bleachers. This was the follow-up by David Geddes. I know you love Run, Joey, Run. Here's the latest for you, everybody. 13 Q's on, 5 minutes after four.
He's just the blind man in the bleachers. The local hometown fans.
Yeah, see, he wanted to continue with the melodrama in his second song.
Right.
Way back in the stands.
Way back in the stands.
And he listens to the play-by-play. Just waiting for one name.
Does he have a radio?
He wants to hear his son
I'm singing now. He's the blind man. In the bleachers, baby.
But the boy's just not a hero.
Let me get to the good part. Not that there is a good part of this. But
yeah, really. Songs that'll make you laugh and cry.
It's the last game of the season.
There you go.
On a Friday night at home.
Wah.
No one knows the reason why the blind man didn't come. And his boy looks kind of
come because he's blind.
Sometimes turns around.
By listening to the game.
Just as though he sees the old man.
Man, I don't remember that one.
No? That was a moderate hit.
Mm-hmm.
Not a huge hit, a moderate hit.
The blind man in the bleachers.
If you're talking monster hit, hold on, let me cue up cut six and just give you a little precursory petroleum jelly.
Oh, God. Oh, no, not Rigdon. Oh.
Here you go.
This might be, you want to talk about the one before it makes you go postal?
Afternoon Delight?
Yeah, this one.
Yeah.
I am, I'm sad to announce that I'm actually tapping my toe to this.
Sorry.
Oh, God.
You're listening to What's Wrong with America.
All the ladies were treating me right.
You see this guy, he's a DJ.
Moving my feet to the disco beat.
Rick D's.
How in the world could I keep my seat?
How in the world can I keep, I said, whoa. It's the all-new Grease Man show.
Yeah. Another one that's like a train wreck. I just can't stop listening.
All of a sudden, I begin to change.
Oh,
here he goes.
I cut that one off already because I'm in kind of a mellow mood, Mike.
You know, this is a guy. You want to talk about the greatest sideburns ever.
Engelbert Humperdinck. He used to make my grandma feel like she didn't feel for a long time. You know what I mean? My grandma went hot for Engelbert.
So I sing you to sleep. After the love. Yesterday.
Yeah. Engelbert Humperdinck, everybody.
And I hope
you can still catch him in Vegas.
What the words and the music.
Only white man ever made my grandma moist.
That Engelbert Humperdinck.
It's so hard.
Any marvelous?
He makes me moist.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Marvelous. Wow. Oh, hold on. Excuse me, Charles Broyhill. Let me get a quick call. And hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, D. Hello, M.
Hello.
Hello.
What about Alone Again Naturally and CB Savage?
Oh, Alone Again Naturally.
That is such a depressing song.
I need a tissue.
Yeah, that is. And, you know, how many people do you think that song pushed over the edge? Alone Again Naturally.
Whatever I've had in here, I'm such a loser, I should be dead.
Yeah, and they played it every hour.
Yeah, for... and my daddy died, and he got shot in the head.
I miss you.
And my brother, to do.
A little while from now, I'm going to be more depressed.
I've got it now, in an effort to... And then, do you remember the follow-up song, which was ridiculous? Right. The guy, his first song is about, like, offing yourself.
Right, right.
And his second song was about, like, a little kid, where he had the sounds of a little kid in the back. Remember the song Claire?
Yes,
oh,
yes,
Claire.
Yes, yeah. Yep.
Right. Oh, here he is now. And who can we send this out to? What's your name?
This is going to Annie in Southern Maryland.
Annie in Southern Maryland.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
To your fun, loving boogie machine. 13Q.
In a little while from now.
Depression.
I'm feeling any less sharp. I
promise myself to treat myself.
Visit a nearby town.
Do it.
Climbing to the top.
Push yourself off.
Get it over with. The song came out before Prozac.
Do it. Kill yourself. Bad curly haircut.
At the bottom of a bottle.
My God, that's tough. She stood him up.
No point in
us remaining.
May as well go.
Yeah, man.
Are you alone again?
Naturally. That's a bummer, man.
Oh, very depressing.
That's a downer. That's not a pick-me-up, man. Ooh, hold on. I don't want to play that one. I want to play number, 13. Here we go. I do have an instant request. Right here. Hello, Don and Mike show.
How you doing?
Hello, who's this?
My name is Jennifer.
Jennifer, what would you like to hear?
Oh, I would just love to hear the new song by Vicki Lawrence called That's the Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia.
Vicki Lawrence, a good friend of this program.
And who know that? Oh, yes, she was on. Who would know that later she'd be known to all as Mama?
Yeah.
Mama's family.
And let's not forget that great talk show that I loved more than any of them.
Vicki exclamation point.
Simply Vicki
exclamation point. Do you remember you would hear this song on the radio when you were a kid? And you'd say, that's a pretty good song. And then someone would tell you it's that woman who won, like, a contest to look like Carol Burnett, in which there really is no winner. You know what I mean? You're the winner of that contest.
You know, a lot of talking show, talking songs back in those days.
Yeah. And then we had Vicki Lawrence on our old morning zoo show. It was when we were in a temporary studio that was like the size of a broom closet.
Oh, that was embarrassing.
There was not enough room for the three asses. You know, mine, yours, and hers.
Yeah. And she told us the song was just about a power failure.
Southern lawyer. Oh, well, here you go. Here's a copy of Carol Burnett's album. Hey, thank you for the call, Jennifer.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Now, that's an album cover right
there. I'm going to hold on to this one and play it when we go to the actual stack of vinyl. Let me entertain you. Carol Burnett sings.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Hey, one more before we go to break. You loved him in Pulp Fiction. John Travolta.
Oh, I'm going to barf.
Hey.
And that little
she said has stuck in my head and I can't get away.
And if you've seen the reruns of American Bandstand,
Yes. The
funniest thing is he's lip-syncing this song and doing an awful job of it. And it gets interviewed by Dick Clark, and Dick Clark's like laughing at him for being a singer.
Yeah.
And Dick Clark says, so, you're so hot on Welcome Back, Kotter. What do you want to do? And he says, well, I'd like to be an actor. I'd like to be in the movies. And Dick Clark looks at him like,
yeah.
Good luck, you goomba. And he mentions that he's working on the movie Carrie.
Mm-hmm. And Dick Clark put his money on Horseshack.
Didn't we all?
Yeah.
Some of us like Freddie Boom Boom Washington.
Freddie Boom Boom was okay. And
Epstein.
Juan Epstein.
I used to think Mrs. Cotter was kind of cute.
Oh, me too?
Yeah. I'd do her.
With the glasses on or off?
With the glasses on, she looked like Bailey Quarters from WKRP in Cincinnati.
Very, very similar look.
There was no way Mr. Cotter deserved that.
No, and then what did he do? He went on to play poker somewhere. Right?
Poker? He's on ESPN. I hardly knew her. And you know you're really having a deprived life when you turn on ESPN and they're showing poker.
Mm-hmm.
They run that sometimes in the middle of the night on ESPN, poker contests.
Yeah. We have a mutual friend that would enjoy watching that on ESPN. All right. Yeah.
We got a break, and we'll be back with more bad songs directly.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show on your sports leader, AM 1000.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Now, back to the Don and Mike Show on your sports leader, AM 1000.
Hey, yo, man, you said we was going to Sizzler City.
Oh, man, shut your anorexic, malnutrition, tapeworm having, overdose, Dick Gregory, Bahamian diet drinking ass up. Leave me alone.
Proud to bring you the most cussing allowed by federal law. The Don and Mike Show.
I'm really going to tempt fate if I give you the cussing you desire right now. I'm doing this just for a joke. God damn it.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
That makes me swallow.
Was that lightning I saw?
You gotta be willing. You gotta be willing to do it. You want to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk.
Our Father who art in heaven.
Nothing quite like sitting right in back of the guy that's talking the talk and walking the walk. I'm very comfortable here.
Sister Janet Mead, everybody.
That's the name of the artist?
Yes, not to be confused with Sister Mary Elephant.
Class.
And that is in our bad song show. Let's do an instant request. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
How you doing, guys?
Just fine. No time for chit-chat. What do you need to hear?
I want to hear Jerry Reed, When You're Hot, You're Hot.
Now, listen, I'm playing it, but it does not belong on this show.
No, this is a good song.
What's your name?
Excuse me?
Well, now me and Homer Jones.
Right.
Had
it be crappy. Going back in the attic.
Threw him.
Try to personalize it for you, sir. Even though this doesn't belong in this show.
Good, I could do no wrong.
Oh, I love this song. You want to talk about a hook? This is Captain Hook right here.
You hot, yeah.
When you're hot, you're hot.
Yeah, Jerry.
When you're not, you're not.
Oh, yeah.
That's good, man.
Son.
When you're hot, you're hot.
Okay. I have singles coming up in a couple of seconds.
Yeah, single women?
No, when we go to the vinyl. Singles, 45
singles.
RPM singles,
right.
Including Sebastian Cabot.
Sebastian Cabot, Buffy, Jody, it's time for bath number 110.
Mr. French.
Oh, come now, children, there's no need to be upset. Slip out of those things and into the suds.
And a song that I think in 1978, I probably would have killed somebody if I had to play it one more time. Anne Murray.
This is another one that makes you postal.
Mm-hmm. Got Convoy, the aforementioned One Night in Bangkok.
Mm-hmm.
Got your Mr. Jaws, got your Rock Me Amadeus, got your Achy Breaky Heart, Pac-Man Fever.
They're all there.
Feelings.
No.
Rodney Dangerfield singing Twist and Shout. Kim Fields from The Facts of Life singing He Loves Me, He Loves Me Not. Buddy Hackett, singing Chinese Rock and Egg Roll. Bob and Doug McKenzie singing Take Off.
Oh, that's a good one. I love Take Off.
And a special tribute to Major Bill Smith. Yes, we will be playing Freddie the Disco Frog.
One of the worst songs you will ever hear. No, I'm sorry. I'm giving it the title. It's the worst song I've ever heard.
Listen, we're going to get into a real Major Bill tribute today. We're going to play songs that we've never even heard before. You know how he used to send us records all the time?
Yes, on his label, Lay Cam.
We'll be listening to The King is Free by Major Bill Smith. We'll also be listening to Here Come the Rattlesnakes.
I didn't know these existed either.
And we'll be listening to Your Royal Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II.
Wow.
Them by Mr. Major Bill Smith.
Ah, Bill Smith.
Bill Smith.
Would you identify yourself?
Calls continue here, and I'm doing my best to get all the songs on that everybody's requesting. Hello?
Hey, Dynamite.
Hi there.
I got one that I know you probably played maybe at PGC. I'm not sure if you were there then.
Yes?
I don't know who does it. The Birth of Butt Boogie.
Oh, Birth of Butt. She's one of the Butt Sisters.
Jimmy Castor Bunch.
Oh, that.
You know? Yeah. I don't think I brought that one in. We might have brought the other one in.
Suck it to me, suck it to me, suck it to me, suck it to me.
Troglodytes. All right, well, look for it. Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
Her name was Bertha. Bertha Butt. She was one of the Butt Sisters.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, yeah.
Hi.
Here's some Leonard Nimoy.
Oh, some Nimoy. All right.
Nimoy and the Shatner Brothers.
And Nimoy. Isn't that the way he likes to be called now? Nimoy.
Nimoy.
So, yeah. That I can do.
Leonard Nimoy.
Give me a moment.
Not to be confused with George Takei.
Takei. All right, here you go. And what is your name, sir?
Greg.
Greg, have you ever heard Leonard Nimoy sing Because You're Mine, I Walk the Line? Well, you're hearing it now.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine.
Leonard Nimoy.
I keep my eyes wide open all the time.
It's another instant request.
I keep the ends out for the tie that binds.
For God's sake, sing it, Spock.
Because you're mine, I walk the line.
All right, let's say you're kind of hung up on that song.
Nimoy.
About Savalas singing the same song. And a guy who was up for the role of Spock.
Let me tell you something. Better version coming up here.
Telly Savalas. Would have been a totally different show.
This is beautiful.
If he was Spock.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine.
See? More panache.
He rocks.
I keep my eyes wide open all the time.
All the time.
I keep the ends out for the tie that binds.
Out west, they'd say.
Because you're mine.
I walk the line.
Oh, okay, I got another one for you guys that I'm going to stump you on. Another celebrity one.
Okay.
Okay. This is another one from my personal archives that we've never played on the show before.
Uh-huh.
The name of the song...
I like it already.
Wind Up Toy.
Wind up toy, wind up toy. Hey, when you gonna treat me like a real hot boy? You operate me with the turn of a key. Wind up boy.
I'm gonna tell you right now, I need a hint.
You need a hint?
Yes. Means it's a difficult one to give a hint on. That means there are many hints that would give it away.
50s TV.
50s TV.
Take you here, take you there, name the place, baby, I don't care.
Is it Frankie Avalon?
No.
Buzz, is it Jerry Mathers?
Yes!
Way
wow.
to go!
Movie show.
Right, you got it by listening, right? You got it by hearing
it
from the voice. Very cool.
It's working great, B.
I want to hold you tight.
Beaver.
Beaver. I hardly knew her.
Hey, when you gonna treat me like a real life boy?
Boy, he was really pushing it, too. I mean, not to sound like Beaver, because, you know, he had that, well, Wally, he had that, like, into his 50s.
How about Dennis Weaver?
I come home from a possum hunt, I sit in the farmhouse shaking from back to...
TV's McCloud.
Was all lit up like a French...
Now lives in a house that's made of garbage, I believe. He's one of those ecology guys.
Hey, those tires work for wall insulation.
Fine feathered friends, my daughter make her roosters in my Plymouth rock pen. It's bobbing up and down like a wind to say.
Yeah, you might want to put that one right next to Freddy the Disco Frog.
Chicken mash, man.
Chicken mash.
Chicken mash.
Chicken mash.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, how are you guys doing today?
We're great, thank you.
I'd love to hear a song by the always famous T.J. Hooker, William Shatner.
Listen, we're going to have a tribute to Shatner when we play all of Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds uninterrupted.
Wow. If that doesn't make you cry, I don't know what will.
Are you going to do Mr. Tambourine Man?
Listen, don't ruin the show. Yes, it's going to be a double play.
All right, I love at the end when he starts screaming.
A double play of Shatner.
Okay, looking forward to it, guys.
Thank you for the call.
Picture yourself
the girl with kaleidoscope eyes. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Hey, could you do the Wyndham McCartney live, Hey Jude?
Got it right here. How long have we been playing this tape? Like,
ever since that guy isolated Linda's microphone at the concert.
Gotta be 7 years, maybe.
And this is all this is. It's her microphone. Isolating her voice.
What a talent. What a vegetarian.
You know, I never knew the meaning of perfect pitch until I heard this.
Yeah, here she is. She's going to get to the part pretty soon where she sounds like she needs a drool cut. When she starts with the no. And there's Paul singing.
You can hear some of her excellent tambourine work, though.
Most excellent. There's Paul singing.
Yeah, the real talent's like about a football field away from her on the other side of the stage.
But don't worry. She's going to jump in.
Well, I think the magic of this is that when she jumps back in, she still maintains her perfect pitch.
And here she goes now. Background. Oh, listen to this. And cue Linda. No! Let this one go until she gets to the good part in the middle. There you go. All right, now Paul will sing again. Sir Paul McCartney.
Yeah, he's a Knight now.
And listen to her, that.
Yeah, that's great tambourine work. And you know, she can actually sing and play the tambourine at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah, let's not get crazy.
Now, here you go. Here's the crazy part. This is where Paul screams. Here we go. That's my favorite part.
Yeah, cue her again.
And she works the mic like, How come Paul hasn't bought up every copy of this bootleg tape that's worked its way around America?
Hey, I want me tape, the one that's got Linda all by her onesies. If you don't give me the tape, I'll give you a bloody nose.
Give me the tape, I'll be your booty.
Hey, Paul, what do you think of Linda singing? I think it's crudy.
And then you think it's over.
Right.
See, this is where Paul lets the crowd sing, right?
Okay.
Paul's not even singing now. Everybody in the crowd. She can't shut up.
The crowd has better pitch than she does.
Yeah, she's really going to turn it up a notch. Woo! Yeah. Woo!
That's not too annoying, you know?
But think about the roadie that did this.
A lot of hatred there.
The time and trouble it took him to go back to the mix board.
Yes.
Say, listen, I want to just isolate Linda's microphone. Don't tell Paul. Hey, Jude.
You know, and if you're at the concert and you're listening to the overall presentation, you didn't have a clue this is going on.
There she is. Rock and roll. She's still better than Yoko, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Heads and tails above. I wish we could get some of Yoko's stuff.
There she is. Okay. All right. Well, you get the idea.
That's very painful.
That's our Linda McCartney tape. All right. Now, when we come back from a break,
Hey, Buzz, hold off on that news for a moment. I want to go another break or two with this. We have more celebrity stuff.
Right.
And when we get back, I believe a tribute to, I see someone on the phone for Neil Diamond.
Oh, yes, Neil Diamond.
And we've got all of our Neil Diamond records out.
Oh, I hope our ex-program director is listening.
So stand by, Cracklin' Rosie. Yes, he can rub his feet as he listens to Neil Diamond. We worked with this guy who, like, was in love with Neil Diamond in a major way.
Sick.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show on your sports leader, AM 1000.